I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Romans in the 14th chapter. I want to begin reading here in verse 7 of this chapter and read down through verse 12. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the living and the dead. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And the title of the message this morning is, Your and My Accountability to God. And now let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be here and thankful for each one who is here. We're grateful for this church, for the history of it, for the faithfulness of it, for those who have been here, lived their lives, and have gone on to be with Thee, and for the many stands that the church has taken that others refuse to, and for the faithfulness of the members. And we, as we look out, we see spaces where we could previously see faithful members sitting who have now gone to be with Thee, and it causes our hearts to rejoice that there is a great resurrection and a time that we will spend eternity with Thee. But while we're here, help each one of us to realize that we are accountable unto Thee. So bless us in this service today. Bless Brother Chris as he preaches as well. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are God's creatures, His creation, by the fact that He did create us out of the dust of the ground. And some want to argue whether that's creator made. That really doesn't matter. He is the creator, and we are the creatures. But not only are some of us just God's by the fact that He made us, but we are His by the fact that He has redeemed us. And so there's a special emphasis there. And so this passage that Paul is referring to here, he's written to the church at Rome. So we know that primarily it's written to those who are God's children, but there are other ramifications of this. Actually, when the apostle speaks to the folks there at Athens, back in the 17th chapter of Acts, and they had worshipped the unknown God, or as Brother Brown used to say, a unknown God. There were so many of them, so they had picked out one. But he says, the time, verse 30, the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. My parents had both passed away, and when my dad died, it was a very sudden thing. He'd had heart trouble since his 30s, and he was into his early 50s. We were living away at that time, and actually it was on a Saturday, and we were We did a lot of goofy things. If you were here when we were here, when you have four girls and a boy, you do a lot of goofy things. And we were having a goofy time at the table and saying a lot of silly stuff and kind of having a sub party while we were eating lunch. And the phone rang. And in the light of what we were doing, I said, "Hark, hark, the phone doth ring." And I went over and grabbed it. And my sister said, "My dad had died." I didn't mean to do this. But I came back, I sat down and I told them, and we went from a joyous party to bawling our eyes out. And as I went through that funeral, my mom was still alive at that time. When I left the cemetery, I remember so indelibly thinking, "He's not going to be in there long. There is a resurrection." And that's the hope that we have. And, you know, if all there is to this life is this life, there's not much to it. If all you have to look forward to is death and that's it, if all a person has to look forward to is what they can accumulate and then leave for others, then there's not much to it. But he says here that we are accountable. And you are accountable, and I'm accountable unto the Lord. Now, that word is not used very often today because there are not many people who want to take any accountability for anything. And there is a responsibility that we all have. Adam was the first responsible person in this world. And, you know, he broke that responsibility when Satan came to him by giving his devotion to Satan and believing what he said rather than what God said. God put one restriction. And that way you will show that I am your God and that I am first and most important in your life because you will not eat of that tree. And Satan said, "That's such a nice tree." And Adam fell for it and Eve fell for it first. And they threw this whole race into sin and confusion. And as you study down through the years, it has been a constant war since the days of Eden. I mean, when Cain killed Abel, that was the start of it. And it's been that way ever since. And really, when I think back, we used to play soldiers when I was little. Nobody wanted to be a German because they were Hitler's people. And we played cowboys and soldiers. And, of course, you're not even allowed to point your finger in school now because they say it's like a gun, but we used to run around shooting each other like crazy. But this has gone on, and it gets worse all the time. If you find a quiet spot, you soon find it filled up with people who have the wrong intentions. Our educational system has gotten terrible. And there are just so many problems there. Well, we are all accountable for that. And we are responsible for that. And when you think of what the Scripture has to say about it, and it says an awful lot about it, in the book of Proverbs, it says that we're to keep our hearts with all diligence. There in the fourth chapter. Matthew says that we are to watch the words of our mouth. Every idle word that men speak, they shall give account in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So even our conversation, we have to guard ourselves. People have tried to redefine things. I mean, when Biden says, "We have no inflation," we say, "You liar." But really, Satan says, "All things are well." And most people, instead of wanting to call the devil, they want to call it an evil influence. Drop the D. And when it comes to God, they want to add a no, well, just good influence. But really, there is a devil and there is a God, and we're responsible to the Lord. And that's what he says here, and that's, he says that all the way through his word. Every man shall be rewarded according to his works. We are to serve the Lord. We're not just put here to entertain ourselves. I've mentioned Brother Kazee several times. Brother Kazee had a great influence on us in our young lives. Brother Chris and I were talking about it this morning. When Linda and I got married, nobody gave you any money back then. You know, we got married and we got dishes, dish towels, dish cloths, forks and spoons, and a few other things. And we went out of there with maybe a dollar or two cash. And I didn't have much money then. We got what would now be called a third-rate motel to stay that first night. And our honeymoon was 40 miles away in Carrollton, Kentucky. And then we came back home and lived with my parents for 2 months before we went to school in Lexington. When I got there, a friend recommended a job, and there weren't any jobs back then to speak of. And so he got me a job in a freezer, a dollar an hour. And Brother Chris told an experience. He didn't have clothes to load the trains that he was loading. I didn't have any clothes in that cold freezer either for several weeks. We were poor, but we didn't know it. And we were thankful that the Lord had blessed us like he had. Well, we are accountable to the Lord for whatever he gives us. We were thankful for anything the Lord gave us. And the reason it took me so long to get through school is I was working. Finally, I borrowed some money and paid it all back over a 10-year period because we had five kids. And we paid it as best we could and finally got it paid off. I don't think these Harvard graduates ought to be given $10,000, but they didn't ask me about that. But we're all accountable. I mean, our government is accountable. But personally, we are accountable unto God, and that's what the Bible's trying to emphasize to us here. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, it says, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man may receive the things done in the body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad." One time when we were at camp, there was a boy, and his grandfather was a pastor, and he was going to do something that was a violation of camp rules. And he was trying to encourage somebody else to do it. And my wife said, "Well, you know, somebody's watching you." And he said, "No, my granddaddy's not here." She said, "No, somebody bigger than him is watching you." And he said, "Oh, I hadn't thought of that." Well, a lot of times we don't realize the Lord watches us over everything. And that's why we benefit as we do. That's why we prosper as we do. But we are responsible unto him, and we are accountable unto him. The way we use our talents is important, and the Lord encourages us to not be slothful. The parable of the talents tells about those who were given certain talents, and those who had two and five doubled them, and the one who had one buried it, made no attempt. Well, he's accountable, and he was punished in that account that Jesus gives us there. There is a person, and this is just a very practical illustration, but it's in the book of Luke, and the 19th chapter, and I'd like for us to look at that for just a minute here. It's a story we normally think of, well, this is just a salvation story, but no, this is also an accountability story. This is a story of Zacchaeus, and he was a publican, and he was rich. He was chief among the publicans. That means he was a thief, but a tax collector and a thief. And he sought to see Jesus, and he was of little stature. I remember reading one time, Charles Spurgeon, who was a famous English preacher, had a school, and he had a magazine he put out, The Sword and the Trowel, and he used to pick students and tell them to come up and give like a 5-minute sermon, just impromptu. And he had one fellow who was a real short little fella, and he said, come up here and give us a short sermon. And the little fella got up and he said, well, I'm going to preach on Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was up a tree, so am I. Zacchaeus was real short, so am I. So I'm coming down, and he went down to his seat. Well, that was a short sermon, all right. But Zacchaeus was responsible. And when he heeded the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see the compassion of Christ with all of those who were huddled around him and thronging him, and he stops to see a young man who's climbed a tree because he was so small he could not see for the crowd. And in verse 5 he says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I will abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And then it goes on to say that the others complained because they said, he has gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. My sister-in-law, before she was terribly killed in a car accident, was a worker for the IRS, and she was tough. I mean, she'd go out to these bars and make them kick out money and had records on them, and was real good at that kind of stuff. We're going to get a whole lot of those if the plan goes through, and we're going to have to account for everything, so we might ought to start keeping records of how many cups of coffee we drink and everything else. But this man was a sinner, and they all said he was a sinner. But he made haste and came down and received him loyally. And then they said, well, we know this man's a sinner. And then notice what Zacchaeus said here in this 8th verse. This shows his accountability. He knew what he was. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Here he's facing up to it. He before that had readily taken too much, or he would never have been a chief publican. So he acknowledged he was a thief. He was accountable for the fact that he had taken too much. And he said, half of my goods I give to the poor. So he'd even raided the poor and taken from them. That's hard-heartedness. That is a vicious attitude. But he was accountable once the Lord came to him and dealt with him. And he said, if I have taken anything from any man. Now, quite often when we deal with people, especially if they do something wrong, they'll say, if I have offended you. There's a big if there, you know. And they know what they've done, but they want to if it. Well, he says here, if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore him fourfold. So he is acknowledging, he is being accountable for what he has done. And I think that's an important illustration for all of us. And the Lord does go on to say, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. If you are here and lost today, no matter what your social status is, no matter how good people might think you are, if you do not have relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you are damned and doomed. And you must be accountable for that. When I came to realize how bad off I was, the only thing I could say to the Lord was, Lord, if you will save me, I don't deserve it. And if I go to hell, that's exactly what I deserve. But you said, if I trust in you, you'll save me. And I had to admit, Lord, I'm so ignorant, I don't know how to believe. You know, you hear that term thrown around, receive Christ, believe. And I had to say, I don't even know how to believe, but what I'm going to do is just throw myself upon you. And if you let me go, then that's what I deserve anyway. But he saved my unworthy soul. And that's been a long time ago. I was 19 at that time. And it's a few more years since then. But he has been faithful. I don't know how we wouldn't have made it without the Lord. But we have to be accountable unto him. When I look back over my life, I realize that I have failed in many ways. Just really have to say, were it not for the Lord, I'd be a complete failure. But I've tried to be faithful. When our family was coming along, and, you know, back in the 1950s, when we were having our children, 50s and early 60s, people didn't think you ought to have kids. Well, you could have two. And the goofballs out in California said 2.1. And don't do any more than that, or you'll overflood the earth. And here we had five. And when they were little, struggling along, and you know how you have to kind of encourage them and everything they do. Come on, we're going to be late. We had a son that a lot of times when we were waiting for him out in the driveway, I'd finally back out to the edge of the driveway, and Linda said, you know you're not going to leave him. But he'd come running out with his shoes and socks and get in the car and put them on. But while they were little, they'd say, what are you doing with all these kids? And we'd say, well, the Lord gave them to us. We're thankful for them. And then they get up in their teens and they say, oh, what a wonderful family you have. And you feel like saying, where were you when I needed you? It's tough raising a family. But it is a blessing raising a family. But we have to be accountable, even to them. Parents need to be accountable to their children and children to their parents. The Lord gives them to us for a reason. And most of all, we're accountable to the Lord. You don't know how long you're going to live, and I don't know how long I'm going to live. Lord willing, we'll make it home today on that I-65, I-75 highway. And I'm thankful for the nice highways we have now, but they are dangerous. And we just have to trust in the Lord. But if I could somehow get this across to us, we need to focus on the fact that we are accountable for everything we do. And if you're lost, you are accountable to God. He is your creator. He's the one that put you here. He put you here for a reason. And yet you have never submitted yourself unto him. And so when the preacher gets up and tells you that Christ died for sinners, you need to realize that's not just some statement he's making. That is the most important statement you'll ever hear. But it is incumbent upon you to repent and trust in the Savior, because you will be accountable. I remember in our community, and we sort of had an isolated community. It was off right between two counties and off by itself. And we had a 12-year-old boy who walked up to town, and most of us had to walk back then. My dad didn't get a car till we were 12, and it wasn't new then. It was new to us, not to anybody else. But I remember this boy walked up to town, and for some reason, there was a four-lane highway there. It was 2542 near Florence, Kentucky. And for some reason, he decided to walk across the highway, and he got hit by a car and killed. And I had seen him a day or two before that. As far as I know, he was never saved. And that was such a sad time. 12 years old. And, you know, it makes you reflect when you see something like it. It didn't reflect on me enough that right then I said, well, I need to trust the Lord, but it made me concerned. And sometimes the Lord convicts us for a long period of time. And that's like the old woman sweeping for her coin. You know, she had to keep sweeping till she found it. And the Holy Spirit works on our hearts. And then finally we come to a place of repentance, realizing that Christ is the Savior. What his work was in our behalf. And when we realize it was in our behalf and we trust in him, then that's when the Father embraces us. Unless we're accountable, we'll never be saved. But then even after we're saved, we must be accountable unto the Lord. We've always tried to be faithful in attending the church service. It's so important. And preachers are often frustrated, thinking maybe the Lord has given them a sermon for someone maybe in mind, and then they never show up. But then somebody else needs it. But we are accountable. And may the Lord help us to realize that. This may be our last day. I hope it isn't. I have no idea when the Lord's coming back. Hebrews does say that we ought to be looking for him. But we don't know on those things. But we do have a Savior. I'm so thankful. So thankful to be here at this time. This is a church that is a special church. And if the Lord has spoken to your heart in some way today, we pray that you'll respond to him. Maybe you're a child of God and out of his will. Maybe you're lost and can trust him and then make a profession. I remember up in our county, as I studied some of the early churches, there was a man named John Taylor. And he was a slave owner. And we had slavery. This county had slavery. Much of early Kentucky had slavery. We were very near the river, so they had to, I rationalize and say, I never favored it, but at least they had to treat them pretty good or they could get across the river. The Ohio at that time was about 5 or 6 feet deep. But he told about this woman. Her name was Letty. And he said, Letty was the meanest slave I had. She could whip any man. And she could beat up her brothers. And he said, the Lord saved her. And of all of his book, he spends 3 pages describing Letty. And he said, the Lord saved her, and she was the most faithful person to the church. And I thought, well, that was significant, that here this woman, whom others said, well, they're just low class, you don't even preach to them, but yet here's a woman tough as nails whipping the men, and the Lord saved her, and she became submissive from that point on. We must be accountable, and there will be results if we're accountable. And may the Lord speak to each of our hearts and help us to draw unto him. Thank you for this privilege of being with you on this anniversary. I'm thankful the church has been faithful down through the years and pray that it'll continue to be so. God bless you.